It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll hear about a new survey that shows large numbers of Americans are more stressed out at home than they are at work. We'll try to find out why. First, Wisconsin began opening drug courts in late 1996 with the goal of reducing costs from overcrowded prisons and to help treat addictions that get overlooked there but can ultimately fuel crime. Today, there are 29 drug courts in the state, and they've made headway on both those goals. Research, though, shows that there are clear racial disparities in the defendants that find themselves in the courts. For example, about a third of those arrested for drug-related crimes in Dane County are African American, but they make up only 10% of those participating in drug courts. The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism released a report on these disparities yesterday, and reporter Taylor Chase is with us now to talk about them. Taylor, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So when drug courts are working the way that they were intended, what are the benefits both for the people and for the system?
Well, they're great mainly because they save the state a lot of money. There was research done recently that found that for a state grant program going out in Wisconsin, for every $1 invested, $1.96 was returned into the state program. So, I mean, that's significant. It adds up. In addition, recidivism rates have gone down drastically because of drug courts. Participants are 50% less likely to commit a new crime, and if they do commit a new crime, they serve an average of 82 fewer days in jail.
So there are 29 drug courts here in Wisconsin. How successful have they been at achieving their goals?
They've been very successful. Like I said, they're saving the state money. They're reducing recidivism rates. They're helping people stay out of jail and actually get the treatment they need.
So there's good news about drug courts. The cost of it, the way people feel and move forward after going through the drug court system. On the other hand, there is a problem that you're writing about here, and that is that defendants in drug courts are disproportionately white. Do we know why that is?
You know, unfortunately, like many complicated issues, there's no one clear-cut reason. Many of the experts and professionals that I talked to gave a variety of reasons, and all of them agreed that they don't know which one it is. Some of the major reasons, though, that are being tossed around is, one, after years of poor mistreatment in the criminal justice system, many minorities just don't want to take the option of drug courts. They would rather serve a few months in jail versus going through up to a year of treatment in the drug court, especially when they think that it might not help them in the end anyways. In addition to that, one of the reasons that I thought was very compelling was the cocaine versus heroin debate. So basically what that debate is talking about is the fact that in general, cocaine abusers tend to be African American, whereas heroin abusers tend to be white people. Cocaine, it's the way it affects the brain is it naturally leads to more violent crime if that person is to commit a crime, whereas heroin, it tends to be more inquisitive crime. For example, they would rather commit theft or sell drugs versus going after someone and being violent. Those violent criminals are automatically disqualified from drug court. So as a result, many minorities who are addicted to cocaine and who are committing violent crimes are therefore disqualified.
Now, you mentioned there being a bigger time investment if someone goes through drug court rather than whether if they instead serve, say, 3 months of prison. What actually happens? What is the process like if someone does decide to go through those 9 months in drug court?
It's hard work. They're expected to show up to court regularly. Depending on how far in the program they are, they're expected to go weekly, biweekly, monthly. And when they show up to court, they basically sit down in front of the judge and they have a conversation with him. They'll talk about how their life's going, why they didn't pass their last drug test, how their counseling is, if they like the treatment program they've been put in. In addition to attending court regularly, like I said, they have to go through all of these drug tests, these different medical treatments, counseling. It's a big, big time commitment versus sitting in jail.
And who gets to decide who goes to drug court? Is it something that the person in question gets to decide themselves, or is it someone from an outside agency?
So it depends on the county, in Wisconsin at least. In Wisconsin, many drug courts, it starts at the DA level. So if the DA decides that someone is eligible for drug court, they will refer that person to the drug court, and then it's up to the defendant to make that decision whether or not they want to take that option. In some cases, though, in Dane County, for example, if the defendant and the defendant's lawyer still believes that they should be able to participate in drug court and the DA doesn't agree, they can take their case to the judge and argue to get in.
And as we're hearing, it's not minorities for the most part. And, you know, it's an interesting fact and figure when you look at how Wisconsin incarcerates black men at the highest rate in the country, according to a UW-Milwaukee study. More than 50% of black men in Wisconsin have been incarcerated at some point. So when drug courts were implemented, was that part of their goal to work on that number?
It doesn't seem like it was necessarily part of the goal directly. I think that in making drug courts and making any type of treatment program like this, they hope to benefit everyone across the board. No one is going to say they didn't care about helping minorities. It's just been a result of a variety of issues, structural issues, societal issues, and no one has been able to quite pinpoint where it's starting.
And looking at it county by county, which counties have the biggest disparities? What did you find?
Dane County by far has one of the largest disparities. It was difficult for Wisconsin simply because there are only so many counties I could look at that were statistically significant. So I'm talking about Rock County, Milwaukee County, Racine County. Across the board, about a third of those arrested for drug-related crimes in 2012 were African-American. And the number of participants always ranged right around the teens, if not lower. Whereas compared to white defendants, those numbers were skyrocketing.
An interesting aspect of this is that, you know, you spoke to a lot of the judges involved and they said it wasn't just the program, but that the people in the program felt that the drug courts gave them something more, and that is hope.
Mm-hmm.
How does that factor in?
Well, you know, drug courts are unique in the sense that they're not necessarily going to court regularly to get punished. There's a series of rewards and sanctions that the participants go through during their time in drug court. And from what I've heard from the judges, it's just a very rewarding experience because they're having those one-on-one individual conversations. They're getting praise when they do good, which is something that a lot of criminals don't hear. They're regularly punished and told they did something wrong and sent to jail. This is a completely new idea for most of them.
So what plans are in the works to make sure that minorities get to use this resource?
Sure. So there is a legislative committee in the works right now. They will be meeting next week is the next meeting that anyone can attend. It's a public hearing. And they are looking at problem-solving courts across the board. So not just drug courts, but all treatment and alternative programs. But I do know that one particular subject they've been hitting on pretty regularly is the language that's used in state funding programs. Part of that language is that any court that receives state funding cannot include violent offenders, which, as I said earlier, is a major group of minorities who could possibly have a more violent criminal history.
So looking then at making those violent offenders more eligible for drug court?
Exactly, which is what Dane County has recently done in their reorganization.
Are there any tangible goals that have been set so far for drug courts going forward?
To save more money, to keep more people out of jail. The state is still spending an insane amount on the criminal justice system. And I think that politicians in particular are starting to realize that may not be the most economically sound option.
And you spoke to a lot of judges, administrators involved in drug courts. Did you get a sense of what they're hoping for the programs going forward?
They want to be able to help the highest risk people, particularly in Dane County and Milwaukee County. I found they really want to target those people that are the most disadvantaged. And that is one thing that the drug courts have failed at. They've been focusing on the medium risk, which is kind of too easy.
Well, we'll leave it there. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
We've been speaking with Taylor Chase, reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She reported yesterday on the racial disparities in the state's drug courts.